You, my friend, are listening to The Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you by Eat It-ology. Are waffles better than potatoes? Which world leader had the best taste in food? Ignoring science, are pineapples a type of citrus? Eat It-ology is food versus food in a lighthearted, inclusive social media collective harnessing democracy to definitively answer these questions for good. Whether your opinions are good, bad, or otherwise, tell us how you feel. Check out tiny.cc/EIO for more information and to make your voice heard. Hello and welcome to episode 123 of The Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and I am feeling super rejuvenated. I don't know about you guys, but whenever we get these extra long weekends because of great holidays and stuff, especially ones that are as important to stop and remember things like Memorial Day, I'm just super thankful for that. So, and especially when I actually do have family members who are in the military, super thankful for what they've done. Any listeners who have served or are currently serving in our armed forces in America, just want to say thank you so much for the sacrifices you and your entire family makes, because I've seen it firsthand that it's a whole family decision, truly, and it affects everyone. So thank you guys for making sacrifices so that we can just live in our freedoms today. Appreciate you. And as we jump into this week's episode, it's going to be you and me. So I'm excited to talk with you guys. Many of you saw that I was able to hit legend right before the balance changes hit. So I'll be sharing my story with you about that. We'll also be going through what the meta is right now, which should be about as slimy of a topic as is possible, because there is truly no forest for the trees. Or whatever this saying, does that saying work in this instance? I think it does. We have no clue what's actually working and what's not, but I'll be able to talk to you guys through some of the things that we have, the tools that we have to look at what data we do know for sure, and then we'll keep things rolling from there. So hope you guys are enjoying this time, and we'll have an entire episode to catch up and talk through what this great game looks like right now. Let me kick us off today with, of course, talking about why I'm happy. Well, like I said, the extra long weekend has been really nice. I've actually gotten a lot of time with my daughter and a lot of good time with my wife. My wife has actually had different things going on every day. She works in the public school system, so it's graduation time, so she's had a lot of events that she's needed to be at, and she ran a 10K because she's a hoss. And so because of that, my mornings I've gotten to spend with my daughter. I'm actually recording this episode right now while she's taking her nap, so shh. But unfortunately, my daughter also got sick this weekend, so she hasn't really been herself. She is normally so joyful and fun and all of that, but she's just been kind of miserable, unfortunately. So it's good for my daddy's heart to be able to just be there for her, snuggle with her, read some books, watch some shows and stuff like that. So we've still had a great time, and we've been pounding oranges because that vitamin C is at least something that will help. We also took her to the doctor, so we're not just relying on that. But so it's been a really fun weekend. I also mentioned on Twitter that I've just felt so overwhelmed with projects that I have going on. So it's been really good to remember just how I don't have to just stay stuck in my frustration of not being where I want to be with those things that I want to do, right? If you've ever felt this way, the thing that really helps me is to just craft out even 15 minutes is about what I need to write down all of the things that are on my mind. I'm really bad typically about scheduling out stuff, writing out task lists, those kinds of things. But taking 15 minutes to just get all of the thoughts that are jumbling around in my brain and put them on paper so I can actually see what the big projects are that need to be done. So stuff like mowing the lawn or working on, some emails for work or checking emails for work. Those are different things. When I say working on emails, it's like a email feed or something. Anyway, and then, you know, podcast stuff. So I've got each of those written down, and then I write down what's the next step on each of those. Well, mowing the lawn is simple. I just need to mow the lawn. Podcast stuff, you know, I needed to work on show notes yesterday. So it's like, okay, I can do that. So really just coming up with a list of next steps and then starting to go through those in a way that makes sense according to my priorities. Like I talked about with our patrons this week and in the episode this past week. So yeah, so it's been good to feel like I'm starting to gain ground back. Still not quite where I want to be, but I'm starting to create momentum to get to there. So that's a really good feeling. Let's jump into the news because there is not a ton to talk about here. Actually, I kind of wonder if this show's going to be a bit shorter. You can, of course, look at the length of this episode now, but as I'm recording this, I don't know how long it's going to be. So we'll see. But the truth is, with news, there's literally nothing. I could try and dig deep into some, forums and posts and stuff like that. But the truth is that there's nothing big going on right now. We just had those balance changes hit last week. And, you know, we recorded last week's episode a little bit before, but it dropped on the same day. So this is the first time now I've been able to talk to you guys since having played with those balance changes in effect. And I think that I did not expect to see as large of a shift as we've seen. And we'll talk more about the meta a bit later during our main topic, obviously. But I think that this has been a time that all of us were hoping for, but didn't really know what we were getting into. With so many simple changes on those balance changes, I think that I underestimated the impact that those would have. Call to Arms was probably the one where it really made sense. Okay, now even Paladin is being dismantled quite a bit. Murloc Paladin may still have enough, but at least it's going to be a little bit further in the game. And so that really seemed to be the one class that was really getting hit hard. But Possessed Lackey moving up a mana cost, Spiteful Summoner, same thing. And then Crystal Core for Quest Rogue just being, you know, down 1/1 on the permanent effect of that card. It didn't seem like there was really going to be that much to happen because of that, but it truly has sent the meta into it. Tailspin's not the right word, unless we're thinking about the 90s Disney cartoon, because that was an awesome cartoon. So we'll just say it's like that, right? But just where it really... there's just no clarity, in my opinion, as to what's truly, truly the best of the best right now, which is a good thing. But it can be frustrating when you're trying to figure out, well, what deck do I need to play to get higher on the ladder or something like that. It's, you can't have both, where if there is a very clear best deck, it's frustrating because everyone's playing that deck and that's all you see. But if there isn't a clear deck, then it puts on you kind of the difficulty of finding something that has a lot of win consistency, right? So there's going to be frustration no matter what we have in the meta, but I think we can all agree that this is something that is a bit healthier and much more unexpected. I mean, you queue up and you don't know what you're going to be against right now on Standard, so that's a lot of fun. So that's all for the news right now. I do want to take some time to talk about my United Hearthstone League matches. So this past week, I went up against Team Toast, which was represented by Dragon Rider. And I was really looking forward to that once I found out Dragon Rider was going to be my opponent. She does some great YouTube content. And actually, she just started streaming this week, which is so exciting. And so I knew that she was going to probably bring some really interesting decks and be a really, really tough opponent. So I kept on my bullying streak and brought the strongest decks that I knew to. I believe it was Control Mage, Taunt Druid, and Even Shaman. She brought a mid-range Demon Lock, an Even Hunter, and then a Mind Blast Priest. So some really interesting decks, and I lost to that mid-range Demon Lock hard. If you did not watch that, it was fascinating the way that I lost, and you definitely need to go check it out, especially if you want to get better at Taunt Druid. You need to be ready for what I was absolutely not ready for in that match. So I was able to take home the win, so thankful to finally beat the undefeated Team Toast, and so thankful to get to face off against Dragon Rider. She was great to play against. And now this week, I'm going to be up against Aleary from the Innkeepers podcast. If you're unfamiliar with that, it's a podcast all about innkeepers who create these awesome fireside gatherings all across the country and actually all across the world. So Aleary has been smoking our league so far. So she has only lost to Team Toast. I can't remember who she. I think she played Cora from Coin Concede. So that's her only loss so far. So she is going to be an insane opponent as well this week. Really looking forward to that. And we actually do have our match scheduled. So it should be this Saturday at 8 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. So you can do the math on where that'll land for you, but it should be a fierce battle. There's not a match I haven't looked forward to. You know, it just every week gets more and more exciting. So looking forward to facing off against Larry. Should be great, and hope to see you guys there. I'll tweet where the match is going to be broadcast. It should be on the official United Hearthstone League Twitch, but in case there's a change up, I'll let you guys know. So let's take a very quick sponsor break because I really need to get this home because this is the very last time I can tell you guys about this. The Humble Monthly, we've been talking about for quite some time. And the deal is that as this podcast is being launched, you've got just over 3 days to purchase it. And I know I've told you it's $12 a month and you get Destiny 2, which is normally $60. This is the cheapest it's ever going to get. It's redeemable on Battle.net. But I don't think that I've told you guys everything else that comes along with the package. So I've mentioned that you get more games to it. Every month, it's at least $100 value. In fact, back in April, their monthly bundle had a $200 value. It was like Deus Ex, Mafia 3, God Eater 2. They always have a ton of top-tier games, and there's a few hidden independent gems that maybe you haven't heard about. Every now and then, they'll do early reveals, and they just decided to do that with two more games that are included in this at no extra cost to you. So you're also going to immediately get Cook Serve Delicious 2, which I'm mega hyped about because one unknown fact about me, I played the first Cook Serve Delicious. I don't know how I got it. It's like it's a simulator restaurant game, but you actually like cook the food. It's almost sort of like a Mavis Beacon Teaches Typing thing, except you're not actually typing words. There's just like letters that you have to hit to sort of prep meals and stuff. And it's a really fast simulator, but there's really interesting things. You have to get their orders right. You can choose your menu. You have to play it because as I'm explaining it, it doesn't sound fun to me. So I can imagine what that does to you. But I was really excited because I haven't gotten to play the sequel yet. So now I've got it because I actually purchased this bundle for myself this past week. That's how good this one is and why I've been telling you about it so much. The other early reveal that they brought out was Ken Follett's The Pillars of the Earth, which is a Daedalic Entertainment published thing. So it's like a point and click adventure. If you're familiar with Daedalic, you know that they come out with games like this. This is based off of apparently a really good best-selling novel and stuff like that, of sort of a tale of medieval times and these peasants who are kind of trying to create an uprising, basically. So this is supposedly really good too. I'm going to have to try it out. But so you're going to get these three games. So already $60 for Destiny 2 and then $43 for Cook Serve Delicious 2 and The Pillars of the Earth. We're already at over $100 value for just $12. But the other things you guys may not know about this is that actually 5% of your purchase also goes straight to charity. And they worked with the Bungie Foundation, which actually funds iPads for kids in hospitals across the U.S. So it brings them some entertainment, a bit of normalcy. It's a great, great cause. And so 5% of your purchase goes towards that. You also get access to the Humble Trove. And you may not be familiar with this. As long as you retain your Humble Monthly subscription, you'll get access to some Humble Originals, but also some kind of old school classic games. So we were talking about some of the old point and click adventures. I saw Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis is on here. You've also got the old school Star Wars games like X-Wing versus TIE Fighter and Rebellion, the old Wasteland. There's Tesla Grad. So there's some really good gems if you haven't played these. Tesla Grad, Dust Force DX. I've been looking to play that one for a while. Elephant in the Room, Limbo, Amnesia, and those are Torchlight 2, by the way. If you haven't played that, that's like, it's a Diablo clone, but it's so much fun. So you can download all of those DRM free as long as you retain your subscription. But one of the best parts is that you can cancel or pause your subscription at no charge. There's no kind of contract that they get you with it. So I'll be honest with you guys. I'll probably purchase this month and then cancel mine because I like to kind of see what that monthly package is going to be and if it's something that I really want. And so this one is for me. I hope it is for you guys. With your purchase, you can help to support the show. And it really goes a long way to helping to keep the lights on around here. So if you enjoy the show, if you want to get some great games at a great price, this is as good as it gets. So you can go to thehappyhearthstone.com and click on the link in this show's show notes, or you can go to my Twitter at Andrew's Living. I've been tweeting about this a lot because it's just that good of a deal. So go do it. Again, you've only got until June 1st to purchase this. So don't delay. If you've been putting it off for a while, now is the time. I really can't wait to jump into Destiny 2. I've heard so much great stuff about it. I've got it downloaded and ready to go. I just need to find a night where I've got a lot of free time and then just totally soak it in. I'm hoping to jump on Twitch also and share that with you guys because I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. And of course, have to share with you guys our Patreon at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. That is the best way to support the show. And I'm so thankful for you guys who continue to give on there, sacrifice so that this show can happen. There's some great rewards like exclusive content just for you at only $5 a month. That's about one Starbucks drink. So if you're doing that and you can give that up to help support the show and get some great content in return, I think that that's truly the best deal on there. And we're actually only $10 away now from our next goal, which is launching a Happy Hearthstone Discord. I'm really looking forward to doing that and being able to have another place for all of us to connect and talk about. It really encourage each other in our gameplay. So looking forward to that. It would only take two of you who have been thinking about or knowing that you should jump in at that $5 level. You can go ahead and do it, or even at just $1 a month. And it never escapes me on these solo shows that these are only possible because of you guys who are giving on the Patreon. So thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, that's enough. That's enough gushing over stuff that you should know about. Let's talk about the main topic, Hearthstone meta. I don't know what that is. It's almost like a voiceover, but not quite, right? So I was able to get to Legend this month. Whew, man. I after the drudgery of last month, unable to figure out what was going to be able to take me up to the top, it was a breath of fresh air to have a bit of a climb that made sense, I guess. So I've talked to you guys a lot about how even Paladin was something that was really escaping me. Anytime I tried it on the ladder, it just didn't seem to click for whatever reason. I felt like I understood the cards that I wanted for my mulligan. I understood matchups a bit, but it was a 50% win rate at best with that deck. And it was a few days before the balance changes hit that I really decided, you know, if I want to try and push and make this happen, I'm going to have to really dial into the best deck right now. And it's pretty blatantly clear through all of other people's experiences and what the meta reports were showing that even Paladin was the way to go. So I decided to just stick with it, go to it, and make it happen. And even Paladin actually got me from rank 4 all the way to rank 1 with very little kickback. You know, Wicked Good and I were talking about the climb, and we were talking about the dynamics of being able to, of wanting to try different decks and all the different stuff that's out there, but also realizing that if you want to get to Legend, you really do have to commit and just stick with something. And it's these really, it's these opposing forces within that you have to really decide, okay, which am I going to do? And am I going to be okay with the results from that? So it was tough to push aside all the cool decks I was seeing or that other people were trying out and stuff. But I said, I'm just going to stick with Even Paladin, go, go, go. Once I hit rank 1, I really hit a hard wall. I think I got up to rank 1 and 4 stars, and then went down to 1 and 1 star, and back to 1 and 4 stars, and down to 1 and 1 star. I think I went like back and forth like 3 or 4 times. It was pretty frustrating. So I started looking at what am I facing up against. And this is where I know I've talked about the Tracobot and Hearthstone Deck Tracker and just the value of seeing what your opponents are playing and what you're coming up against. I really feel like I probably need to do a blog post that details this more so that I can kind of point you guys to something and give you all of those links that you'd need to find them. If you're not using those things, it's such a valuable asset. And really, I would say the key to getting over that hump for me. Because what I noticed was that it was something like 90% of my opponents were playing either Even Paladin, Q-Block, or Control. Actually, there was a lot more Control Warlock, I think, but it was one of those variants, or Mind Blast Priest. And so those three comprised like so much of what I was seeing. So I decided to go to the Vicious Syndicate report and look at those three archetypes and see, is there a deck that beats all of them? Because if there is, I should be playing that. And as I looked at it, there was nothing that beat all three of them. But what I did notice was that Mind Blast Priest was favored over Control Warlock and the Even Paladin matchups. So I took a risk. And I can't necessarily recommend doing this every time because I had very little experience with the Mind Blast Priest. I had watched some streamers play it. I'd read some reports on it and stuff. So I kind of knew how it played, but I didn't have a lot of games in the bank for me. And I took a risk and said, you know what? Mind Blast Priest, if it's favored against these two, and then, you know, if I come up against the mirror, I'm just going to win 50% of the time. That's how it goes typically. Then that should be a good deck to play. And you know what? Very quickly, I was able to get there. How quickly, you might ask? I went 6-0. Yeah. So it was literally insane. That very rarely happens. But it really speaks to the great power of analyzing your data. And I really wanted to harp on this a little bit more because I remember the last time I hit Legend, it was a very similar experience where I spent most of my climb playing with a Control Dragon Priest that I had found. But once I hit rank one, I hit a wall. And I started doing some analyzing, watching what other people were playing, and did a Spell Hunter list and was able to break through once I got that. In my experience, the meta just shifts in such a way at rank one that oftentimes, you need to be willing and able to make adjustments that are going to help you. Now, I've said it a million times, it bears repeating, that you can't just change your deck every time you lose. If you do that, it's going to destroy you. And there's also no golden ticket to making it to Legend, right? So, or a silver bullet, I guess, would be the other way to say it. So otherwise, everyone would get to Legend. It does take some amount of luck, but you can use the data that you're getting from your opponents, and you can learn from the pros, and you can do your best to bring your best mindset possible to create the best possible experience for you to overcome those humps. But rank one seems a bit different in my experience because you are facing off against about half people who are also at rank one and are trying so hard to get over that very last push to get to Legend. You're also facing some people who are in the lower ranks of Legend who are just experimenting with stuff because kind of once you get to Legend, there are two paths you can take. One is to try really hard and get up to the top 1,000, top 100. And those people are just die-harding and, well, try-harding. And you could die or try on your way up there, I guess. But either way, you're very committed to the best of the best decks and playing your best. But there are a much larger group of people, I'm probably included in this, that once they hit Legend, they just want to try different stuff. There's nothing to risk as far as your rewards. You can't go further down. But hitting Legend was kind of the accomplishment you wanted to hit. And now you get to experiment and try different things. So I really want to encourage you guys to do that very thing. So all of this happened for me literally the day before the balance changes hit. I didn't do the entire climb, but I did hit Legend the day before, just in time. So since then, holy cow, have things exploded. There are so many decks being tried right now. There are a lot of different decks that are doing extremely well. And a couple that have really risen to the top, I would say. One of them is Even Warlock. So if you haven't seen this yet, it sort of heralds back to the days of Handlock. Not quite the same kind of deck, but because it runs Mountain Giants, because it runs Twilight Drakes, And because it runs the Sun Fury protectors, it really feels like that to a lot of us. So the idea is that because your hero power only costs one, you can start using it on turn one. And if you have the coin, by turn three, you can play a Mountain Giant, which is very, very early to be playing one of those. Also, your Twilight Drakes end up being 4/9s or 4/10s oftentimes. And you can really spiral things out of control very quickly if you're able to kind of get a start like that. The Hooked Reavers that we haven't seen much play from, they're the 4-mana 4/4 demons that gain +3/+3 and taunt if your life total is 15 or less. We haven't seen those much, but they're, you know, we said it back in the review that this has got to be powerful. It's a conditional, but if that condition is met, very strong, similar Flame-Wreathed Faceless. That is a mouthful. Flame-Wreathed Faceless. I'll be trying my tongue twisters with that one. Flame-Wreathed Faceless. No, I can't do it. Never mind. I actually read that Zalay was the one who came up with the concept, but Sho and Meaty have been the two that have been getting really high up into Legend with it. So definitely watch those guys if you're interested in seeing some even Warlock play and kind of learning that deck list. Another one that's been getting a lot of notoriety is the Hunter class. So now Spell Hunter is not the only thing that's available in your toolkit. Now Kathrina Hunter is kind of a thing and kind of pretty powerful. So my good buddy Wicked Good was able to hit Legend with a list that was really, really interesting. I think that, this archetype has existed for a while. It just hasn't been a tier one. Maybe it's been tier two, but I don't think it's even been that good. It's just kind of been an interesting deck that can kind of win some games when it gets really good draws. But the idea is with Kathrina Winter Wisp, you can recruit out a Charge Devil Sore or a King Crush. And those are extremely powerful, and those guys can go face. Some other interesting additions, some lists will be running the Seepling Oozling, which is the 6-mana 5/4 that gains a death rattle of something in your deck. So it'll get that from Kathrina, and it'll summon one of those guys. Also good. The cube is also something that's making its way in there. So when you cube a Charged Devil Sore, you just get two Charged Devil Sores with charge. Pretty good. And obviously, if you get it with King Crush, that's fine too. I've seen that some other pros have been running Emerus in this list, so there's a lot of interesting stuff happening with it. It's definitely an archetype to check out if you want to have something fun to play, something that's different. Should be a good time. And then there's a million other deck lists that are out there. I really don't have enough experience with all of these to tell you too much detail about it, but I do want to point you guys to a resource. Tempo Storm came out with a day one meta report since the balance changes went into effect, and I feel like it's a really good overview of just about every deck list that was out there. And a lot of these are just perfectly fine. We're really going to have to wait until we see more data from HS Replay, from Vicious Syndicate, to make any kind of statements about, yeah, this is really the top deck right now. Because right now, it seems like a lot of people are winning with a lot of different stuff. Miracle Rogue is another one that's getting a lot of notoriety. Tempo Mage is still very good. So this is a really good time to be playing Hearthstone, in my opinion, because if you want to play with something that hasn't been as strong in the past because, you know, your cube overlords or even paladin overlords have kind of smushed you out, now there's so much breathing room that really allow pretty much anything that's had some semblance of goodness in them to happen. So if you're interested, however, in my opinion for the Have a Happy Time deck of the week, I'm going to have to point you guys to Control Mage. And I feel like Control Mage is on the brink of becoming too strong. And this is because of one run that I had since, you know, I really haven't put a lot of time into the game since hitting Legend, but I did play with Control Mage, played like a 7-game streak, and I lost one of those games. So I have to speak from my experience that coming up against some Hunters, some even Warlocks, and a Shudderwalk Shaman, that Control Mage is really set up to do some game-breaking stuff. Being able to stall out the game, clear the board, and then with Frostlich Jaina, just create too much value for your opponent to keep up with. So I'm going to recommend that, and I will have a deck list for you. It won't look surprising if you've messed around with the list at all, but it'll be in the show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com, so you can be sure to check that out. And I hope you do have a happy time, because truly this is a time to play whatever you feel like, because you can, I guess. With that, let's go ahead and jump into our community section. We actually did get an iTunes review this week, and it's a bit more critical than typical, but I'd still love to read this so that we can have a conversation about this. So the title of it is A Shadow of What It Once Was, and it's a 2-star review. This is from Crusader Esper, and he says here, "This podcast has unfortunately dramatically dropped in quality over the past few months, with more focus on the host's real-life trials and tribulations and other unrelated subjects to the game. Though the show is coming out more frequently, there's ultimately less talk about the game itself. I suggest listening only to the card review shows and giving the rest of the podcast a pass." So I appreciate you taking the time to go and write that and giving some feedback. Honestly, a lot of the conversations that we have about this show are based off of what you guys, the listeners, want to talk about. So every time that we have a co-host on this show, just for, you know, complete transparency's sake, really work with that person to come up with a show conversation that they want to have. And it's really based off of their initiation on that topic. So the conversations we've had lately about those have been a bit more not in the weeds necessarily with the Hearthstone meta and the gameplay and stuff. So I can totally understand and respect if that's something that you don't like, that maybe this podcast may not be the right one for you. But I also do want to ask to all of our listeners, truly, that, you know, as I say at the end of every show, this podcast is about you. You know, since before I was even on this show, back when I was a listener, I've always loved that this show had a revolving door of co-hosts, because it allows for so many different perspectives, different personalities to really engage. And that's truly what gives this podcast such an insane focus on the community. So, you know, this show is about you. It's for you. So I would really appreciate and love to hear, do you agree with Crusader? Do you disagree? I know for sure that I'm never going to be able to satisfy everybody, but I would love to hear from you guys if this is something that you'd like, if you'd like to see things tweak in one way or another. I'm all for that. So, and especially if you feel like you want to have a certain conversation on this show, highly encourage you, man, let me know and just come and be on the show with me. So I, you know, we're obviously going to keep on continuing, but I also know that we can't get better without open and honest feedback. So Crusader Esper, really appreciate you leaving that review. If this podcast really isn't what you enjoy, then no hard feelings at all. Wish you the best. And I hope you do continue to come back and enjoy those card review episodes as well. And for everyone else, I would really value your feedback. Do you enjoy the conversations that we have that aren't exactly on the Hearthstone meta and stuff like that? Do you find these conversations that we have on the solo cast about the meta helpful? All of that is going to help me to create a better show for you guys, which is why I do what I do. So, these iTunes reviews are hugely helpful, so constructive criticism like that is helpful for me to grow, but also if you do enjoy the show and you want to let other people know about that, please log into iTunes and let them know, because they'll be able to find the show more easily, and it really makes a huge difference. So I'll continue to commit, as long as it's constructive, I will read any criticism that's given through those iTunes reviews or any shout-outs and praise as well, because I think it just helps me to get a good feel and helps you guys know, because this is your show, just how we're doing. So really appreciate that again, and I will lead us into the next part, because we've got a card to talk about. Did you guys know that we have a card to talk about? You probably did. I wonder if you still enjoy this part of the show, because I really do. I love creating these for you guys, so I hope you enjoy this song for a card that has proven to be very powerful for a long, long time. When I wasn't here before, aggro ran the meta game. You cried out for some taunts to let you get in the way. Sludge Belcher was a memory of a long forgotten past. But now I'm here to stop aggro on Turn Through Dead in its tracks. Cause I'm a tar creep. I'm a tar weirdo. What in the jungle am I doing here? I certainly belong here as the card of the week. I mean, it was too easy once I thought about what the card was going to be, you know? Obviously, it is Tar Creeper. Oh, buddy. Did you guys know Tar Creeper is a card? Of course you knew Tar Creeper is a card. It's a 3-mana, 1/5 elemental with taunt, and it reads, has +2 attack during your opponent's turn. What's been fascinating to me, I don't know if you guys know this, if you go over to hsreplay.net, on the main page right there at the bottom of the page, if you scroll all the way down, you can see how what the most popular cards played by game mode over the last 5 minutes are. So you've got ranked standard, ranked wild, and arena, and they're live shifting based off of how many times it's been played. And you can imagine in ranked standard that you've got some pretty standard cards that, excuse the pun, that have just made their way to be really powerful. Stuff like Serenite Chain Gang or Stonehill Defender, even Doomsayer is up there on this list. But as I've been checking out this list over the past several weeks, every single time, Tar Creeper is number one on that list. And again, these are cards played by game mode over the last 5 minutes. Right now, as I'm looking at it, it's at number one at 923 cards. Number two, Stonehill Defender with 835. So just to give you guys kind of an example, Tar Creeper is such a monumental card that is basically a game plan for any deck to be able to combat aggressive decks. And though we aren't seeing quite as many right now, I would say, that are just trying to flood the board, I guess Odd Paladin really has kind of been doing its thing, as well as Murloc Paladin. So actually, now that I think about it, it's kind of interesting Tar Creeper is still getting played. Because if there isn't as much aggro, you would think that you don't have to play this as much. But another deck that's kind of taking its place in the meta right now is Taunt Warrior. It's becoming a more pervasive thing. And Tar Creeper is just a very early game taunt that you can play to start getting some traction with that quest. So I wonder, Tar Creeper obviously is always going to make sense in that deck. But a bunch of others, I don't know that now's the time where you really need it. I'm so thankful that Tar Creeper exists because I really do think it's the perfect tool where it's an early game thing that can thwart your enemy on their turn, but it doesn't give you too much tempo on your own turn. Like a 3-mana 1/5 with taunt is okay. I guess we've got Mogushan Warden that's a 4-mana 1/7, but that's it. Really, you play it because of how it messes up your opponent. They have to deal with it, but for you, it's a very early game threat. So I think it's such a well-balanced card, and I do hope that when Journey to Un'Goro rotates out, that we see something similar. You know, Sludge Belcher was kind of the, you can just throw this in any deck and it will hurt aggro hard. And now Tar Creeper has been that, so maybe we'll see something kind of in the middle. I guess we saw Infested Tauren, but that wasn't quite the same. So who knows what that next card could be. But Tar Creeper, we love you. We're thankful you're a part of this meta. All right, as we close out, I do want to tell you guys and remind you as always that you are the happy Hearthstone. This podcast is for you. And I know I went on a bit during the iTunes review, so I won't go into it nearly as much. But seriously, I really do value your feedback and want to hear what you guys like, what you may not like as much. You know, I'm never going to try and be the previous host of this show because I'm not. So I try to hold tight to some of the things that were fundamental for this show since the very beginning and offer up a very similar show. But I also want to make it my own in the ways that it makes sense. So I do hope that you guys enjoy it, that you continue to come back, and that you let me know what you like, what you'd like to see more of, and how things can shift in the future. But a lot of that depends on you being a part of this. So whether you have just been listening for a few weeks, you're starting to really enjoy it, or you've been listening since the very beginning, know that your listenership really matters. So I appreciate you doing that as a foundation. But also, I'd love to invite you to come and be a part of the show. You just have to email me at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com or tweet at me at AndrewsLiving and let me know, and we will schedule something out and make it happen. Also, you can jump into our Patreon, which is the best way to support the show. And you guys have been so great. great helping me to create some margin so I can make these weekly episodes for you and make exclusive content also for patrons at $5 and more. So I loved being able to do that stuff for you guys. And if you would like to be a part of that and help us get over that goal to create the Discord, again, we're just $10 a month away from that. So in a few days left in this month that we could hit it and be good to go. And of course, I have to give a huge thank you to Jordan L., Red Knight, and Risen. Thank you guys for being producers of the Happy Hearthstone. I wish I could give you each a high five. That's me air fiving each of you. One, two, three. All right, that's two air fives. So thank you guys so much for being a part of the show and supporting at the level at which you do. And of course, the other great way that you can support the show is by going to iTunes and leaving a Hearthstone or leaving a review on the Happy Hearthstone. Let me know what you like about the show. You can find all of the links and everything for the podcast at thehappyhearthstone.com. I've told you guys that I'm going to be giving you a free download if you're a part of the mailing list that I've created for the show. And that mailing list just shoots you an email anytime that an episode drops or anytime I put some exclusive Patreon content or anytime that a blog post goes live. So if you like the show, if you do enjoy it and you want to have those updates, the mailing list is without a doubt the best way to join. And I've got that free download I'll be sending out to everyone who's a part of that this week. So really excited to get that to you guys. And all you have to do is go to thehappyhearthstone.com. You'll see it in the bottom right-hand corner, I believe, to sign up for the mailing list. Just need your name and email, and boom. You are an official Happy Hearthstone subscriber. So thank you. But we also have all the other links in the show notes to the Google Plus community, which is bopping and booming as always. My Twitch, which is twitch.tv/AndrewIsLiving. The YouTube, my Twitter, email, the Blizzard Happy Hearthstone group. I mean, there's just a million different things you guys can come and join. And also, if you're interested in my thoughts on faith, want to go see my personal blog, you can go over to scaryfaith.com and check that out and see a different dimension of Andrew as well. So thank you guys so much for being here. I really do hope that you're enjoying this game as much as I am right now, because we don't typically have these metas for very long, and it's almost like we had another rotation of Hearthstone jump in with these balance changes. So this really is a special time that we don't get all the time. So enjoy it, breathe deep, check out all the deck lists, go watch some streamers and see what they're playing. And this is a fun time to be playing. So really appreciate you guys and love what you bring to this show each and every week. Thanks for allowing me to bring myself as well. Thank you so much for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. I'll see you guys next time.